Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
We're bringing you Clippers news 5 days a week. Even though the season has ended, we have not. Still plenty to talk about here in Clipperland.
Oh, yeah.
Today, we're going to be talking some more about some possible coach options. Charles has a new favorite today, Darvin Ham.
Oh, the Ham Slamwich, dude. Based on nickname alone, he needs to be hired.
So we're going to be discussing some of the names that have been linked to the Clippers recently. There was kind of a flurry of some new blood today. So we're going to be talking about those. And then, man, in a segment I wish we didn't have to be doing, we're going to do a Paul George next season outlet. Or next season outlook, rather, and kind of talk about, what he would need to do to sort of get redemption in the eyes of Clipper fans.
Yeah.
What he can bring to the team, and man, in a rough note, Charles wonders if Paul George is the new Tobias Harris.
Just not in terms of performance. We'll get into it.
And in shavings, we got some great stuff. The guys are in good spirits.
Seem to be.
So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so the Clippers head coach search is heating up quite a bit. It was reported that Darvin Ham is slated to interview with the Clippers this week. And Woj also reported that former Lakers and Cavs coach Mike Brown has already interviewed with the Clippers for the head coaching position. He did add that Ty Lue is still, quote-unquote, in a strong position with the Clippers, so I guess Ty Lue seemingly is still the front runner. But Mike Brown kind of caused some, I guess, consternation from Clippers Nation on Twitter. He's got a 347 and 216 career coaching record. And he's not exactly that innovating coach that Ballmer might want, right? Like, when I think of Mike Brown, I don't think of new system.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. He has been, I don't know, like, I would think being around the Warriors would maybe give you something. But
for sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not exciting in any way.
I got to agree. Yeah, it's not really exciting in any way.
I kind of read that and I was like, ugh, okay. Like, as long as he's not a serious candidate, I'm like, I guess test out, see who's out there. But
I mean, he just, like, the only thing that's exciting is, I mean, like, he has worked with Phil Jackson, you know, he's worked with Rick Carlisle, he's worked with Greg Popovich.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, he has the experience. I guess we just haven't really seen it actualized. So
And he's kind of behind the eight ball, right? Because he's not a first-time head coach, so we've seen kind of what he can do. So with every other coach candidate who's a first-time head coach, I feel like there's kind of these rose-colored possibility glasses on. Whereas with Mike Brown, you're kind of like, we've seen what you've got
for sure. I mean, he's only coached six full NBA seasons. He has a winning record in all but one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, his tenure with the Lakers, though, was catastrophic. But,
yeah.
Also, he wasn't really there to hard win games. Time for the organization.
Yeah, definitely. But an exciting name that popped up was Miami Bucks assistant coach Darvin Ham. Just a little bit of background on Darvin. He was known for his dunking. He shattered a backboard with a dunk in the 1996 NCAA tournament and won the College Slam Dunk Contest that year. His nicknames in the NBA were Duncan Darvin and Ham Slamwich, as already discussed. Played for 16 in 8 seasons. He was a member of the Pistons championship team from 03 to 04. So there's maybe kind of a Chauncey Billups as assistant coach kind of line there if he were to be hired, which, you know, people kind of talk about Billups being a coach.
I feel like those talks have kind of cooled almost, right?
Yeah, definitely. But coaching chops. So in October 2011, he was an assistant coach for the Lakers in charge of player development. He worked with Kobe, Powell, and Dwight. 2013, he joined the Hawks when Budenholzer was there. This was when the Hawks were, like, amazing and made the Eastern Conference
Finals. He was
a big part, they say, of kind of helping them become what, you know, they did in those years. And then he followed Buds to Milwaukee in 2018 after they kind of parted ways. He's kind of I've seen a lot of articles about like him as being a good development guy for maybe younger teams, like the Bulls were really interested in hiring him. He's got some I know. He's got some good quotes about defense where he says, defense is something you can get right almost every night. Nothing is 100% perfect, but there's a lot of excellence involved in defense. And you can really give yourself a chance to win if you're focused on that end of the court. He's got, I mean, in terms of coaches to have been around, you know, he was coached by Larry Brown when they won the championship. You know, he's been on the Lakers. He's been with Buds, who's won Coach of the Year and crushed it with the Hawks and stuff like that. But kind of one thing that has me, you know, we're wondering is, do we want a Buds disciple after kind of what happened this season?
Yeah, I don't know if the Budenholzer move. I mean, I think after witnessing something like that, you would, you know, have a different outlook, I would think, on you know, how you view kind of playoff rotations and especially, you know, minutes usage of star players.
Yeah.
So I think that that's interesting. I don't know. I like Budenholzer. I mean, I loved those Hawks teams that overachieved. And, you know, what he was able to do with the Bucks, you know, like, you know, despite not making playoff success, I mean, they were.
Man, the Eastern Conference Finals, you know, like Clippers haven't made the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And I mean, during the regular season, I mean, they just chopped through the whole thing.
Yeah.
So there's clearly some good stuff there. I don't know. I guess I just feel like maybe the level of experience isn't there compared to some of the other names that have been linked to. But I do like that he has a player background because I do think that that's something that will definitely come in handy in the locker room.
Yeah, it helps respect for sure. And like he was an aggressive player. You know, he was a dunker. Like, so it's not like, you know, I think that plays a fact too. Yeah.
But like, over a Sam Cassell?
I know. It's one of those things where you're like, so this, you know, compared to like we've talked about, I mean, so compared to, let's just talk, you know, let's rank the candidates we know who are in the running, which is Ty Lue, Mike Brown, Darvin Ham. I'd probably put Ham second. I'd put Lue first right now. I'm still kind of trying to find a lot of people like, well, what does Giannis think about him? You know, that's a big, like, what does the star player think about Darvin Ham? And I haven't found too many like direct quotes from Giannis about it, but from everything it seems like he's not disliked, so I feel like that's good.
Like, no, definitely. And I mean, you know, he was also a member of that Pistons championship team that I love. It's one of the most impressive NBA championships in my mind.
But yeah, like, so the DNA is there. It's, and you know, I think because it's an Eastern Conference team, we're maybe having a little trepidation is because we don't really get to see them play kind of in our sphere at all. You know, like we don't run up against the Bucks. And when we did, we got our asses kicked. So I think that's kind of making me a little, not nervous about it, but just kind of like, I mean, I'm glad they're interviewing him. You know, he's a new guy. Like, it's good to see they're going with, you know, the Mike Browns of the world and the Darvin Hams, you know?
Yeah.
And I think one of the first things you probably asked Darvin Ham in that interview is, maybe what would you have done differently in the Eastern Conference? Like in that playoff run, right? Like,
yeah, for sure. Just play your stars more and hope that Giannis doesn't get an ankle injury. I don't, you know.
Yeah, and I think maybe it's because I've been watching the Heat so much, but I think I like Dan Craig more as a possibility, but we don't even know if he's been interviewed.
Yeah, you really sold me on Dan Craig on yesterday's podcast. If you guys haven't heard that one yet, go ahead and check that out. Exciting.
Exciting.
I think he's not officially linked yet as Darvin Ham is, but I'm a little bit more, I guess, excited about that prospect.
Yeah. And then on tomorrow's show, we're going to be breaking down another candidate the Clipperholics wrote about, which was Wes Unsled Jr. He's got a great resume that we'll talk about for sure. Let us know what you think of Darvin Ham. I already like him based on nicknames. Coming up after this, we're going to be looking at Paul George and I'm going to give you my Tobias Harris comparison. Thank you very much. But first,
what do you eat?
So I eat very few things, usually nuts and bolts to grind up some of the food in my belly, a la what chickens do. But when I'm not doing that, I reach for a Built Bar, okay? Built Bar is also new and improved. It's even deliciouser than it used to be. There's 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut. For those of you who might have an allergy, they are respective of that. These six new flavors are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Very sweet flavors, but it's a bar that's healthy for you, which I think is very key. They're great for the health conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. These Built Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for the keto diet. I like the peanut butter one, kind of a classic, a little bit boring, but what are you going to do? There's 5 grams of sugar, only 5 grams net carbs, plus 19 grams of protein. With every purchase now, while supplies last, if you check out BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order. One more time, use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com.
Okay, so we're back, and today we're going to, in the second segment, we're going to take a look at the next season outlook for Paul George. I think there were some pretty mixed feelings from the fans on how his season ended.
I don't think it was mixed.
I think it was mixed. I thought he did well in the Denver series.
Yes.
And I mean, yes, the Dallas series was not great. He really struggled, and yeah, there were some issues. There were also some comments made that I'm sure rubbed a lot of fans, including myself, the wrong way.
Which comments are you referring to?
You know, that this wasn't a championship or bust season. I think that was a huge issue.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
To me overall, and this is a season long thing, not just in the playoffs, for Paul George, is just in the off court stuff, he really defers. I haven't really seen Paul George take on a lot of like responsibility or accountability. And I know that's kind of like nebulous and narrative based or whatever, but it's just one of those things that bugs me.
So that's where my Tobias comparison is. That is what I meant by the Tobias comparison, is Paul George kind of that guy who is supposed to be, you know, a 1B or even a 1A, but he kind of acts as if he's a 2, right? Vibe wise.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. And, you know, there were amazing highs to his level of play this year. And also, you know, there were some lows.
Some pretty brutal lows in there.
Yeah.
Do you think that's just getting used to the new team? And, like, you know, there was chemistry issues, all that stuff. Like, do you think he just
wasn't comfortable
calling shots yet?
I think it's all of that. I think it's regaining his confidence from the double shoulder surgery, and then
yes,
the later quad issues. I believe it was quad that he was having.
Leg in general.
Yeah, like lower body stuff. So all of that is definitely difficult. He had, you know, some significant setbacks this season, even from what we thought he would have.
Yes, and he came out, you know, hot, which is what's tough. Like, he spoiled us with his first couple of games back.
Yeah, and I mean, the stats aren't awful. 21-6-4 with a steal a game. Splits, 41-44-87.
That 44 is crazy.
Yeah, 44 from three, 44% from three is great. But 4.5 free throw attempts a game.
Oof, and that hurts.
This to me is something that definitely needs to change. You put a note in here, like, what can he do to make Clippers fans forget how much we gave up in that trade? And this like piggybacks right into my thing, which, like, I just want to see more confidence in creating off the dribble.
Yeah, aggressive Paul George.
In the postseason, anytime he had the ball in his hands in a situation where he was the primary ball handler, it was a cringy situation for me. I just, you know, and I think this was a constant for me all season. I just didn't really see the off the ball creation on the ball that I thought he was capable of. Yeah. And I don't think that it was, you know, like while the shooting and stuff was still there, I don't think that it was at the level of what he did that last year in OKC, where he was, you know, such a huge catalyst of the offense in a system that, you know, didn't have the same amount of shooters that the Clippers do. That was, you know, not anywhere near the offensive team that surrounded him this year. And I guess I would like to see more in that department. You know, he can still shoot.
Because the three-point shooting is great. 44% is unreal from three.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And he's still, you know, he's knocking down free throws when he gets to the line at a reasonable percentage. I wish the overall field goal percentage was a little bit better.
Yeah.
but, yeah, just being able to take some of those ball handling duties off of Kawhi, to me, would be massive. It was clearly – that, to me, was, like, the biggest thing weighing on Kawhi. Like, he had to do – too much, man. He had to do too much, especially in terms of, you know, being the primary ball handler on the majority of plays. And obviously, you know, this isn't just Paul George's fault. Pat was injured, certainly looked, you know, his role certainly looked different when he was on the floor.
But the weight of everything being a Paul George caliber player coming in third and MVP voting the season before, you're kind of like, man, like you got to at least try and get, you know, take some of the pressure off Kawhi. And one of those things is free throws. If you take out the season where he only played six games due to injury, he averaged the fewest amount of free throws he's taken since the 2012-2013 season.
Yeah.
Which is kind of insane.
He just wasn't aggressive. He sought out contact in ways that, like,
is very so frustrating. Obvious. Yes, he would put his head down. He would bounce into someone and then do the we saw it a bunch, and then just back up, and the ref would be like, "Dude, I saw you thinking about that. Like, I could see the gears turning in your head to try and get that foul call. You didn't do it very well."
I do still feel like we got a little bit too focused on the negatives.
And
like I said,
he went through the bubble. He struggled in the bubble with mental health, which is, hey, he wasn't the only one. A lot of other players came out and talked about it. Can't imagine what that must have been like. Of course, but you know, he bounced back great from that, which was phenomenal to see. But yeah, he's got to, and the thing that's hard is he's got to come out and start next season like he did this season, which was phenomenally. And I think that's going to be hard, but which I think that's going to be hard with such a quick turnaround.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be difficult, but hey.
And new coach.
Lucky we didn't have to play for too long this offseason. So extra rest.
Just thinking ahead, next year's championship's going to be held in such high regard, we might as well just try and win that one. And in terms of like his stats, you look at it, and I just want that field goal percentage to be up a little bit higher. The defense was there for the most part, you know, like anytime you're on the court with Kawhi, it's going to help everything out. But I thought he played well defensively next to Kawhi. I think he's a good compliment for Kawhi defensively. And there's no fit issues, right? Like that's the positive. It's not like we're not like the Sixers. Like we're not like what the hell do we do with Paul George?
And I mean, I thought he was a great on ball defender. He did great against Jamal Murray. You know, he had some brilliant defensive performances. I wish we could have seen it a little bit more locked in during the regular season, but that's a note I have for the entire team. And we still were a top five defensive team. So, I can't critique him too much on that.
Yeah, it's going to be, we hope he has a good season. Seems like his off season's treating him pretty well. Hope he's relaxing. Hope he's working on generating actual content or contact when he goes to the paint. Let us know what you think Paul George can do to win you back. Coming up, we're going to be talking some positive JaMychal Green stuff. And Pat Bev, respecting the trash talk and looking like he might be making a pasta. But first, Will, what's this issue that you'd like to bring up?
Fellas.
No pun intended.
Fellas, if you're having trouble talking about your erectile dysfunction, it can be hard. It isn't easy. It's a lot of times people brush it off or make some excuses or just avoid it altogether. But thanks to Roman, it's easy to talk about with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for your ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. What are they, Amazon? The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to Roman.com and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. One more time, GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. Go as hard as the ham sandwich.
Okay, welcome to Shavings. Talking some positive Jermichael Green stuff, which is always a good time. Crucial free agent to be, possibly, that the Clippers need to, I mean, I think we both agree, absolutely need to retain.
100%.
So Clipperholics kind of wrote a funny article. Jermichael's the only player, kind of other than the rookies and Shamit, to have posted, A, anything about the loss to the Nuggets. He posted how the F, still trying to figure out how the F we lost this game. Recently posted a few pics of him on court during the Mavs series, just being genuinely fired up, like Zoo's doing a dunk and he's fired up in the background, and him and Trez are doing this handshake. He also mentioned that he turned down better offers to come to the Clippers over the summer in 19. Seems like he wants to be back with the Clips, right?
I think that he wants to stay with this team. I think that he's got a good role. I think that we didn't get to see as much of it in the playoffs, but in the regular season, I mean, I think since he's been on this team, he's been playing some of his best ball. So clearly we're unlocking something for him. And I think that he's enjoying the role where, you know, not as much is put on him as there was in Memphis and some of his, previous years. So I think that he comes back. I guess the question to me is he willing?
So.
Is he willing to do it for that $5 million, or is he still going to opt out and expect some more money? Maybe test the field with the intention of coming back to the Clippers. And I'm right there with you. I think he had a great season. From a objective standpoint, he's definitely worth more than $5 million.
And he was the only player who really kind of came out ahead after that bubble debacle terms of how the Clippers finished. And I think it's a thing the Clippers, Ballmer's a businessman. He understands that you should explore other offers and stuff like that. But how much over that $5 million do you think he could? I think he could get 8 for a couple years or something like –
So I think what the non-taxpayer exemption is something like 9.5. I don't know if he could quite get that.
Yeah, that's a little steep. That's getting into the, like, we want him so no one else gets him territory, I think.
Yeah. So I think just south of that, though, is to me pretty reasonable. I think 8 mil is pretty reasonable. I think we can make that work. He's definitely worth it. Decides to opt in for one more year and then he doesn't have to sign a long-term thing and he can make his decision of what he wants to do.
It's a good call.
When he knows what Kawhi and Paul George are going to do instead of getting locked down for a longer-term contract. Hey, that makes sense too. And, you know, from a cap perspective, it helps us out a little bit.
Yeah. And I mean, he'll be a key piece in those seasons when, we win the chip and then don't go to the playoffs for 12 years. Like I said that we would on the last episode. So all good. Hope Jermichael's having a good offseason. Pat Bev posted a video, I think it was on his Instagram, saying he respects the Cancun on 3 jokes, kind of has to take it on the chin and move on. He was saying he kind of appreciates the smack talk. Also looks like he's rolling dough of some kind. Could be pasta. Pat Bev could be making his own pasta right now in quarantine.
Well, I'm definitely with that.
I mean, for pasta Twitter, people have to be psyched on that. I like kind of Pat Bev showing. I feel like people have this idea of Pat Bev is that he doesn't respect when people kind of give it back to him. You know, he's not a dude who can't not take it in terms of trash talk.
Yeah, yeah. Unless like the you're Westbrook talking about thing, the Clippers obviously. Chemistry issues.
Yes, don't bring that up or he will yell at you in the face. But yeah, like it's nice. I just feel like most of the main guys are having a fairly relaxing off season, which is good. And Bev, yeah, the chemistry stuff did kind of get him riled up, but I think Bev is primed for a good season next season. He mentioned, you know, at media day before this last season started, he wanted to show people that he earned that contract he got. And I think he's probably pretty bummed with the injury situation and how maybe he felt, you know, he should have played more just health-wise. So I think next season we're going to see an even more motivated Pat Bev, which is hard to do.
Yeah, I think so too. Hopefully we can keep him healthy. You know, with the drastic changes coming to the organization, I don't know what that's going to mean for the training staff, but yeah. I do think, you know, given the there was a multitude of things in the bubble, but health definitely was one of them. Conditioning, I think, was one of them. And so I would like to see Bomber make another significant investment in that department.
Do you think they're telling him to not work out in Tim's on the beach this off season because of injury concerns?
I hope not.
You want him to keep doing it?
Yeah, I think it's good for you.
Yeah, it might be good for you. It also could. It terrifies.
What about that is bad for your calf?
It terrifies me from a twisting an ankle perspective. Got a high heel on those Tim's. Anything else in shavings you want to talk about?
No, not really. I'm excited to break down some more coaches. You know, like I said, still not time to freak out.
No,
I'm glad that we're exploring our options. I think that even though Ty Lue could be the right choice, I think it would have been foolish to just go ahead with that promotion without at least exploring our options, man. We got to play the field.
Exactly. You got to test the waters. Thursday's episode, we're going to be kind of breaking down another candidate, this time Wes Unsled Jr. He's another exciting prospect. He's kind of in that Dan Craig area in terms of how hyped I am on him. Thirsty Thursday. And then whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, Will, where can these fantastic people find us?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. And hey, if you like what we're doing, go ahead, leave us a rating and a little review if you have the time. Really helps us out. So yeah, stay rocking with us. There's still plenty of clips to talk. And as the season rapidly approaches.
Yeah, we're just already almost there. Thank you again for listening. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.